Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
If you want to become financially independent, come to my seminar. Let me show you how to make the fortune you have always dreamed about.
Ready? Go!
What happens if you are named
in Nelson
Rockefeller's
will?
You get rich quick!
Land on the line! Play the game again! Everybody's gonna lose and I'm gonna win! Gonna get rich quick!
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Get Rich Quick with Josh
and Noel
right here on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
This is a show where I, Josh Rubin,
and I, Noel Dineen,
come together once a week over a single topic, and from that topic sprout multiple ideas on how to get rich very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We get together with our ideas,
mm-hmm.
We spew them out over the airwaves. Are these really airwaves or not really airwaves? Do they still qualify as airwaves?
Yeah.
Okay. The digital airwaves, shall we say?
The digital airwaves.
For any and all
yeah.
who wish to listen, take those ideas, action them, become millionaires, billionaires, nay, Noel, I say trillionaires.
Okay.
And then, once they've made their funds,
mm-hmm.
once they've pocketed all that cash money, the moolah, the greenbacks, the pesos, the pesetas,
yep.
the shekels, the, what is it, dirhams?
The dirhams.
The rupees,
yep.
the euros, the pounds, the francs, although I don't think they exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say rubles already?
Yeah. You said them all.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
Then and only then, Noel.
Yeah.
Do they then think back to the days, the salad days, the times when they struggled?
Yeah.
What got them to where they were? And they realize a big part of what got them to where they are now?
Yeah.
Wealthy beyond human conception?
Oh, yeah. I know where this is going.
Then and only then.
Yeah.
Do they go, I need to give back.
Boom.
To the people that helped me.
Yeah.
To the people that propped me up on the shoulders of their great ideas.
Yep.
And then, Noel, what do?
They say, hey, who's that guy that recited every currency in the world that day and his awesome partner? I owe them for sending me on the path to get all those currencies myself. And they reach in their pocket. They give us 10%. They tithe us 10% of everything you've earned after you are rich. It's the deal.
You know what they're going to remember from the show besides the idea?
What?
They're going to remember Get Rich Quick with Josh and that bad guy. That terrible human being.
Uh-huh.
Noel, what's his name? You've been mean to me all day today.
Yeah.
And you continue on air. And I just sit here and take these punches in stride
mm-hmm.
because my middle name should be Punching Bag.
Oh.
Yeah. And
okay.
you just tee off. It's like Creed.
It's like
and
Creed.
And I'm the side of meat.
Yeah.
I'd make a Rocky reference, but that would date me.
Yeah.
It's like Creed 2.
Yeah.
And I'm just the side of meat being trained on. And you're some young black buck beating the crap out of me.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, Noel.
Anyway.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty
How
good.
How was your Thanksgiving? Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I had a good Thanksgiving, yeah.
Good.
I went home, went to Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and ate some bird.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
That's what you do. What else is going on? I haven't seen you all week,
You
man.
Have not seen me.
And I've missed you.
How was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving, what I like to tell people is it was unmemorable.
Okay.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Any memories that come up, particularly around Thanksgiving,
uh-huh.
but any sort of large, relatively, I have a very small family, but large family gathering that we have generally aren't memories you want to have.
Okay.
So I look at it as if in 2020, someone says, how was your 2018 Thanksgiving? And I go, you know what? I don't remember.
Yeah, that's good.
I can chalk that one up to having been a pretty good Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I was in a room.
Uh-huh.
I'm 49 years old. I turned 49 in October.
Woohoo!
My wife is not the same age as me.
Okay.
But I will say I was the youngest person in the room.
Okay.
That means that there were one, two, three, four, five other, well, not including my wife, five other people that were 78 or older.
Wow.
Do you know what those conversations are when you're in a room where 49 is the youngest person and everyone else is 30 plus years older than you?
What?
I went to my doctor yesterday. What's your supplemental insurance, by the way? What did you say? You went to your doctor? Yeah. What'd he say? Which doctor was that? And that was the entire dinner table conversation.
I was surrounded by tiny babies.
There's something nice about that.
Yeah.
I don't have an issue with that. I mean, I guess if they're really like tiny, tiny.
They were all over.
Crying all the time?
There were some.
Mm-hmm.
Not that cry, actually, because the youngest baby of all is my cousin Maggie's,
mm-hmm.
who had a baby last Christmas when I was in Chicago for Christmas. And this baby is the best baby.
Is it?
She looks at you and smiles, mm-hmm. and is just like a good, happy baby.
Were you picking that baby up all the time and holding it?
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, you know, making some faces. Mm-hmm. Kid loved them.
Did the kid like your faces?
Loved my faces.
Kids are good with me. Babies they don't know what to make of me. Like little babies, like that age. 2 years and younger,
uh-huh.
they're not 100% sure what to make of me.
Okay.
When they are
I see where they're actually
toddling around,
uh-huh.
and they're like climbing on shit,
mm-hmm.
and they're trying to grab stuff,
mm-hmm.
and they want to like be lifted up, then I'm like the best person in the world.
Okay.
They love me. Matt and Nora's kid.
Yeah.
Like Deb was leaving to go to work while they were still hanging out. And I just went to walk her to the door and their son was like, Josh, no go. Josh, no go. And they were like, no, Debbie's going. Debbie's going. He was like, bye, Debbie. Josh, no go. They love me at that age because I pick them up. I put them on my shoulders. I hang them upside down.
Uh-huh.
Every time they say again, again, I do it again and again and again. But little babies, I ran into a neighbor of mine who's got a little daughter who's 8 months old.
Uh-huh.
And I hadn't seen him in a couple months. And, you know, at that age, they change. Every time you see them, they look different. And she just, like, had her binky in her mouth, and she was sucking on her little pacifier there.
Uh-huh.
And she would, like, work it. And then I'd look over at her, and she would just freeze like an animal that was cornered, hoping that I wouldn't see her. And then she would just stare at me, but angrily. angry baby stares. And I'd make little faces and nothing.
Yeah.
Like, didn't know what to make of this. What are you going to do? Yeah. Little babies love Deb, though. I make them cry.
You make Deb cry, too.
I make everyone cry. But you make me cry.
Aww.
So I guess that's a little karma.
There we go.
Yeah.
So a while back, I meet these two neighbors
mm-hmm.
above me and behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And they're these two friends who are from Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And they both moved into the building at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both Buddhists.
Oh.
And they
have. Or should I say, Om.
Waka waka. Oh, Señor en Fuego. So they have, not as much lately, but they, for a while, were having a lot of them, these meetings of Buddhists in their apartments.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be one or the other
one. Are they a particular sect of Buddhism?
I don't know. I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're having these people over, and not many people, like a few people would come to their apartments a couple times a day, and they would do chanting. And you just hear them kind of like,
was it Nam-myoho Renge Kyo?
I don't know.
Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, Nam-myoho Renge Kyo.
It was fast. Whatever it was fast. And you couldn't really hear it other than you could hear something was going, right? And I bumped into them out a while back now, and we were talking about the landlord.
Mm-hmm.
And they had gotten a letter from the landlord ordering them to stop Because someone complained in the building.
Uh-huh.
And they can't be running classes out of their apartment or something like that. Mm-hmm. It was, and like, no, they're, and I told them, A, I told them, it's not me that complained. I don't care. But don't listen to them. A landlord can't tell you you can't do whatever your religious thing is.
No, if they thinks that you're running a class, though, and making money.
But they're not.
Paid.
Right, they're
no,
not.
I understand that, but that's what he thinks. And I'm sure that's probably what he was told by the tenant that complained, she. Whoever it was. Oh, you know who it is?
No. I'm saying the landlord is she.
Oh, okay. Landlord, whatever. Whoever complained to her. Why are you so upset? I'm used to most landlords. My experience with landlords who are total pricks,
yeah.
They tend to be guys.
Oh, okay. All
that's
right.
Just my experience. So I think I just naturally
I was just smiling because it's the second time in the show that I corrected you.
Yeah, but it's not the second. It's like
assuming
the 36th.
Everyone's a male.
It's 36th time today you've corrected me.
not over the same thing.
No, well, no, but all you do is correct me, Noel. I mean, I know what I do it on the show a lot because you can't speak English very well. And so I feel it's important that you know, if people are going to trust us to make them money, they need to understand that you can speak English well, that you can pronounce things.
Uh-huh.
It is the hardest
Weller.
Thing for me. It is the hardest thing for me listening to Donald Trump speak.
Yeah.
And watching him, like today, I watched the broadcast
mm-hmm.
of the new NAFTA,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was great that he made such a big deal of calling it the USMCA. And during his whole speech, and then when Trudeau started speaking, he just kept the two times he referred to it was as NAFTA 2, which I thought was great because, you know, that's the last thing Trump wants it to be called.
Yeah.
But he would not, he would hit you'd every time he hit a part of the speech that he couldn't pronounce something or knew he couldn't, that was when he would vamp. And it was just crazy. You could see him start to pronounce something, and he couldn't wrap his brain around it. And then he would look up and go, "It's very, very big. It's a great deal. It's the greatest deal." And then he'd go back, "And now we are here to thank the president of Mexico and my very good friend." You know, and he would just go on like that. But I don't understand how people can go into business with someone who clearly can't read. I mean, like, I'm sorry. Like, if you're investing
mm-hmm.
millions, if not billions of dollars in someone,
yeah,
and they can't read, can't speak, that to me is like, it's a mistake.
Yeah.
It's just a mistake. You know, and vilify me if you want, people.
Do
send,
it.
Send your, you know, whatever. I'm willing to eat that.
Ugh.
But that to me is crazy. Crazy.
Yeah. So many crazy things right now.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane.
We'll have time to sort it out when he's in jail.
Yeah. Anyway, Noel.
Anyway, my poor neighbors.
Yeah, well, this is what happens when, you know, you think that when you sit there and you chant a mantra,
yeah,
only good things are going to happen to you.
That's what you think.
But you know what? Clearly, they're not doing it well enough.
Oh, wow.
I think they should look at themselves.
Did you just mantrasplain them?
I did. I think they need to look at themselves and see what they're doing wrong in their life that they're having this karmic kickback.
Yeah.
I think that's really what needs to happen
there.
But it's very interesting you bring up this story, Noel.
That's right.
Because the topic today is...
The topic today is mantras.
That's right.
How to own your way to financial freedom. How to own your own home. That's pretty good.
Yeah, you could be a home omer.
A home omer. Unless your landlord finds out.
Well, if you own your own home.
That's right. If you own your own home.
Then it's yours.
Then you own whenever you way
you
want.
Right. That's right. I just, the only reason I asked if it was the Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, I don't know if I've told this story before, but when I was younger and I would sleep over at my my friend Josh's house, who's on this show, he has a middle brother, older brother named, I won't say his name, but he's got an older brother who was very involved for a while when we were in high school in the Nichiren Shishonen Buddhism, which is the Nam-myoho Renge Kyo Buddhist group. It's the one that, that oh, why can't I remember her name? singer, 60s. Shit. Oh, my God.
Okay. It doesn't matter.
Anyway, it was made famous in the movie about her life. Sort of made famous. It was brought up because she's been a Nam-myoho Renge-kyo Buddhist for a long time.
Okay.
but they set up a little thing that they do their mantra to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they put like fresh fruits around it. And it just so happens to be sort of in their house. It was sort of in the sort of sleeping nook that they had where guests would sleep. There were three boys, so they all had their own room. So there was no real guest room,
mm-hmm.
but there was a little nook off of the living room where there was a day bed. And when he started really getting into this, he would wake me up at 4 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
telling me I had to go to the couch. Because he had to do his chanting at that time.
So why don't you chant on the couch?
Why don't you wait till like 8 o'clock in the morning?
Or do that.
And chant. Yeah. But no, he had to chant at 4 o'clock in the morning. Then I would move to the couch and be kept up by his chanting for an hour and a half. Nam-myoho Renge-kyo, Nam-myoho Renge-kyo, like that. It was like this drone in my head. But anyway, that's what made me think of that.
Okay.
Anyway, Noel.
Anyway.
Mantras. What do you got?
I'll tell you what I got, right? So, mantras, guys. Originally in Hinduism and Buddhism, a word or sound repeated to aid concentration in meditation.
Oh, I didn't know your name was Wikipedia.
A Vedic hymn. A statement or slogan.
It really is Wikipedia.
repeated frequently.
Uh-huh.
So in Eastern thought, basically, mantras focus you and your energy. This energy will manifest itself in positive change in the world, right? Kind of, this is one thing that I really wondered as I was going through this. What's the real difference between mantras and positive affirmations?
Well, I think the effect is intended to be the same,
uh-huh.
but positive affirmations is more of a Western concept. I mean, positive affirmations are essentially mantras for Americans.
Okay.
Right? It's they're not necessarily about a spiritual upheaval. They're more like a psychological and motivational thing.
All right.
I think is the sort of bigger thing. But ideally, the effects are the same, right? It motivates you. It focuses you. It keeps you... going towards a goal.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, mantras. They're repetitive sounds used to penetrate the depths of the unconscious mind and adjust the vibration of all aspects of your being. Mantras are vibrated through chanting aloud, mental practice, and by listening to them. right? And if you look it up, there's mantras for calming,
mm-hmm.
for focusing, for protecting, for strengthening, for exciting, for anything, right? Mm-hmm. You got a whole menu of mantras out there. Lots of them.
Mm-hmm.
I remember from school, I forget what class, but we talked about Om, the head mantra, I guess we're going to call it.
Was this? I think it's considered like the source of all mantras.
Yeah, the main mantra.
Is it, was this in high school or in college?
In college.
Oh.
I think it was like a myth and symbol class or something like that. But Om is supposed to be the sound of the universe, right?
Om.
It opens, it expands, it closes, and then there's nothing before you repeat it again. So the space in between the Oms is an important part of the Om. Right? So it's Om.
I used to, the few times I took yoga classes and mm-hmm. I would do the ohms, I would get very, like, bass heavy.
Yeah.
And I would go like, oh. but I'd be, like, really relaxed or really reverberated. And then I would go longer than everyone else.
Yeah.
And I think it freaked people out a little.
You're like those monks. What were those monks that were, like, all the hit for a while?
I don't know.
You know who I'm talking about.
The Shaolin monks?
No, the monks that would, like, do that kind of chanting singing.
Oh, are you talking about the ones that do the Tuvan throat singers? They're not monks, though.
No, they were the monks.
I don't know what monks you're talking about.
You do.
I don't.
where you threw me off now. Uh-huh. Okay. Ohm, opening, expanding, closing, nothing, repeat, right? And it's got sort of an onomatopoeia about it for being one with the universe, right? Because it sounds with like exactly like what it's supposed to be.
In what way? It's, oh, I see. In that it sounds like ohm.
It well, the ohm is the opening, the expanding, the closing, and the nothing of the universe.
Yeah, I don't get the nothing of the universe. I don't. What? I don't get the nothing.
The
of
nothing
the
is a space between where you say it again.
I don't buy that.
All right, you don't have to. Uh-huh. So according to science. You know, if you want to believe Josh, believe Josh. But if you want to believe science, believe that the onomatopoeic aspect is actually useful to us. It causes our body to experience what our minds are thinking, just similar to how some people learn better by writing something down than just by reading it,
mm-hmm.
right? It kind of puts a little muscle memory into muscle learning. Into this same concept, right? And because of this, mantras can help rewire our brains. Chanting them in groups can sync people and create a collective effect and make people feel closer.
Cycling at the same time.
It basically is what you're doing. You're cycling at the same time. And it makes an effect similar to how musicians feel. Or improvisers, I'll say it.
Yeah, the stretch.
Or people in a play. You ever act and you feel like you get out and you're like, that was like, it's like playing a sport, feels like?
Nope.
You know what I'm talking about.
Nope. No idea.
There's lots of inconclusive studies about this stuff. Lots of quasi-science on the topic.
That's why it's right up your alleyway there.
You know
there.
What I'm talking about. Yeah. But, you know, there's one thing that everything agrees on, which is basically those people who think they work, really, really think that mantras work.
Mm-hmm.
Really do.
Mm-hmm.
And there has to be something to it since so many people believe it. So many people. And they're not just a bunch of hippies, right? Here, for instance, State Agricultural Minister Vijay Sardesai in the Indian state of Goa has launched the Shiv Yog Cosmic Farming Project.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to incorporate Vedic farming techniques into modern practice, channeling Shakti, which is energy, into the soil as an alternative to chemical fertilizers.
Mm-hmm.
And he requires farmers to recite a daily healing Sanskrit mantra for at least 20 minutes during the sowing seeds, during the sowing season, to ensure safer and higher crop output.
And how's that worked so far?
Well, I'm getting to that, right?
Okay.
It was supervised by a chemical engineer who said, all I know is that there's some celestial sounds one can capture and channel through meditation and help increase the yield and decrease the input of fertilizers.
I like that he prefaces that with, all I know.
Yeah.
That's anytime someone says all I know, it usually is sort of a diminutive, right? Like, well, you'd expect this chemical engineer says, all I know is they're not using any fertilizer. And yet this is happening. But like, no, all I know is this broad, crazy celestial thing.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
Over 1,000 farmers in India have adopted the techniques and claim it is showing remarkable results.
Wow.
You know, and Doubting Thomas is like you, if you want.
Who's a Doubting Thomas?
You could wait for the studies to prove if it's real or not. But if we wait that long, we will have missed the boat, right?
I'm with you.
All right, good. So I remembered our show on urban farming, right? And I also read about Farm One in Tribeca. That is in an office building housing a restaurant, an ophthalmologist, and a canine rehabilitation facility. They grow over 500 varieties of herbs and microgreens. They supply area restaurants. They're booming.
Mm-hmm.
They had to expand. They had to move. Their business is good for these guys.
Did they take over the ophthalmologist space?
No, but they went into this new building.
Okay.
They were in a smaller building.
Did
right?
they keep the smaller building as well, or they just move it all to the new building?
I don't know. This is not the point.
Well, it doesn't matter. I have questions,
okay.
And you're the person bringing it up,
so
you have to have answers.
They're booming.
They're booming.
Right? So what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to open your own urban farm, your own center for herbs and microgreens and everything that you can grow on roofs, in buildings, in basements, hydroponically, all over the building.
Uh-huh.
Except for one space in that building.
And that space is where?
That space is where you're going to have a yoga studio.
Mm-hmm.
And just like you were saying, when you used to go to yoga and chant, that's the only time I've ever chanted too, is in yoga. And you can feel this thing. If these farmers are seeing drastic results from one farmer chanting 20 minutes a day.
I know, into acres of food.
Into acres of food. Think of the results you will get.
10, 15 times a day with 20 people each time.
Exactly. Exactly, man. You're going to, the cup will runneth over, as they mm-hmm. say in the moolah business.
The building will runneth over.
You will be supplying half the city.
Yep.
High quality, completely organic, because you will not need chemical fertilizers.
That's right. Ohm Farms.
You will be Ohm Farm. You will be channeling the Shankty, and you
channeling the who?
The Shankty, the energy.
The Shankty.
Yeah.
Is this the prison Shakti?
The Shakti.
The Shankty.
Shakatile. And you will be making some frickin' coin.
It's a great idea.
It's a great idea.
It's so good. That is the exact same idea that
no,
I had.
No, because I even checked with you
no,
to make sure I didn't.
It's not the same idea. It's not the same idea. I did have an idea, though,
mm-hmm.
that you could use it to, instead of, seriously, I did
okay.
have this idea, but I couldn't find anything to back it up in any way, shape, or form, that you could use it on cattle
uh-huh.
and things like that and not have to use growth hormones on them.
Oh, yeah.
On
yeah,
cattle
yeah.
and to just make every, like, chickens lay better, cattle get bigger,
yeah,
everything like that.
I had a few great ideas I never used.
Such as?
Well, I don't want to say it before your ideas,
oh.
because what if I steal one from you?
Well, ideas is a bit of a stretch.
All right.
Ideas implies more than one, my friend.
All right.
But so here's my million-dollar idea. So I went the route of the idea of mantra is affirmation.
All right.
And the modern Western mantra, which people change their mantras every day.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you can't look through an Instagram post. You cannot. Every influencer is posting some sort of affirming mantra or affirmation
mm-hmm.
every single day
mm-hmm.
on their various posts, on their various things. You cannot walk into a gym or a yoga studio without seeing affirmations plastered on walls.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot walk down the street without seeing some Lululemon t-shirt with an affirmation plastered
oh, yeah.
on it. You cannot. They put affirmations on everything, on mugs. You cannot look through a magazine about interior design.
No.
Without seeing on the wall somewhere in some weathered former window of a barn that's been turned into a frame,
yep.
some kind of affirmation. People love slapping affirmations on things.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere you go, there's affirmations. So I had this idea. So these affirmations, right, are intended to help you with problem solving, reducing stress and anxiety, increasing personal success,
mm-hmm.
increasing positive emotions, improving relationships, helping with confidence, creating inner clarity. I think they're all very important things.
Yeah.
Right? Famous people use affirmations all the time.
Okay.
I think one of the most famous ones, I'm sure you've heard this story. I remember hearing it years ago. But Jim Carrey
mm-hmm.
very early in his career, after he had just moved to LA and his career was going nowhere, he drove up to the Hollywood Hills overlooking LA, and he pulled out a blank check and he wrote himself a check on this blank check for $10 million mm-hmm. for acting services rendered, and then post-dated it for 10 years later.
Okay.
And he put it in his wallet, and he would take it out and look at it every single day and just concentrate on it and focusing on this money, and then he put it back in, and 10 years later, Noel, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Made him rich.
Yeah.
That was the beginning of the end. Then when his father died, he took that check out of his wallet and put it in his casket. And his father was buried with the check.
Okay.
So this is what affirmations can do for you. Only All 10 right. years it took him.
Yeah.
So that's amazing, right? And that's the power of that just with a check.
Yeah.
In a wallet.
And a wallet.
In your ass. Up against your ass.
Yeah.
So this was my idea.
Okay.
Okay? We're talking about branding, essentially, here, yeah. right? And we're talking about basically putting mantras on things.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, why aren't we putting mantras on everything?
Yeah.
And I mean everything. So let's start a little more superficially,
okay.
but close to internal. Toilet paper.
Okay.
Mantras printed all over it.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. If you're having problems going to the bathroom,
yeah.
like you having bowel issues, and you are just staring at this mantra on every sheet of toilet paper as you're going down, and then you're wiping yourself with that mantra, it's got nothing but healing powers going for
healing.
You. You're having open heart surgery.
Yeah.
You need to get a valve put in. Not a pig's valve, right? Mm-hmm. They've created plastic hearts now that work for you. Mantras printed all over those suckers.
Oh, yeah.
Mantras printed on surgeons' tools
yeah.
that are going inside you to heal you.
Yeah.
Mantras printed on, I don't know, like pick your poison or not poison, pills.
Okay.
Pill casings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can laser etch anything now. So the gelatinous pill case has a mantra on it
yeah.
that you can speak, and then swallow, and you internalize that mantra. That mantra is in you now.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, you look how popular Goop is. People love that magazine.
People love Goop.
Right. And that's all Goop is. It's mantras and fake healing things.
Mm-hmm.
And you're making real healing things with mantras. And you're going to make a gajillion dollars.
Yeah, that's good.
All those people who read Goop, all those rich celebrities, they're going to want, they're going to be like, oh.
They're going to demand.
Yeah, they're going to be like, oh, I have to have open heart surgery. I want you to use all those fancy things that have mantras printed over them. Mm-hmm. I want it like from the word go.
Mm-hmm.
I want, you know, the spiritual healing that's going to happen to my body
Written
and my
tiny
soul.
Tiny on the threads that sew them up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, medical
on the needles themselves.
Biggest part of this one.
Medical is going to be huge on this. But you can, you know, you can go into the supplement
mm-hmm.
world of supplementation. You can have a whole line of mantra mantra vitamins.
Yeah.
Right. So the mantra meets up with the specific thing that the vitamin does.
Yep.
So it just amps up the power.
Om a day.
Yeah. There you go. Om a day for women. Om a day for men.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
That's good.
Yeah. I know it is. That was why I only needed one today.
That's right. You guys, if you want to give Josh the money he needs to one day get two, go to RadioFreeBrooklyn.org. Go to the Get Rich Quick at Josh Knowles show page. Hit the sponsor link. Pledge an amount. Half that money goes to Josh and I. Keeps us an extra ideas. Half that money goes to Radio Free Brooklyn. Keeps the lights on. Right? If you only want to give money to Radio Free Brooklyn, you go to RadioFreeBrooklyn.org. Hit the pledge button. Pledge an amount, one time or reoccurring. All that money goes to Radio Free Brooklyn. None of that money comes to Josh and I. You get a tax break because Radio Free Brooklyn is a 501c3 organization. Get to know you did the right thing. You helped support the teen program and stuff like that. If you want to support us without giving money, no problem. Go to the App Store, the iTunes App Store, the Android App Store. Get our app. Listen to us. Subscribe to the newsletter, Radio Free Brooklyn.
Well, we have an app and a newsletter.
We've got an app and a newsletter, and we got a party. You guys want to support us by we give you free beer? Yeah, we can do that, right?
What?
We got a party, right?
Mm-hmm.
December 13th, 7 to 10 p.m. at the Braven Brewing Company in Bushwick. RSVP to radiofreebrooklyn.org/holiday2018. You get two free beers. Show up, meet everyone, hang out. Well, we get to meet you.
You're not meeting me because I didn't know anything about this party.
You're coming. You're driving me. Get craft, whatever. You get beer and you meet us.
Uh-huh.
Come out to Bushwick. You live in Bushwick anyway, I know. Probably.
I don't think anyone who listens to our show lives in Bushwick.
Well, they're rich, though. They can get on a Sonic jet.
That's right.
A supersonic jet.
Yep.
Come to Brooklyn. Meet us. Give us your tithe in person. You guys, you know what would be the best is if the whole party becomes all about just Josh and I?
Uh-huh.
It's supposed to be a RFB community party. No, it'll be all about Josh and I because you'll show up and hand us millions of dollars.
I know, and we'll be getting all these checks.
Right in the middle of the party.
Uh-huh. It'll be like...
About us.
Yeah, it'll be finding out like you won the lotto.
Yeah.
In the middle of something and just started screaming.
Yeah.
At someone's birthday party. Like, imagine you're at someone's birthday party where it's supposed to be all about them.
Yeah.
And then you win the lotto, and then everyone is
like
just
that.
Paying attention
to you. Yeah, or imagine you go to, like, yeah, someone's birthday party. No, imagine you go...
To
a friend's stand-up show.
Uh-huh.
And right in the middle of that show, someone proposes to someone really loudly.
Uh-huh. See,
that's what it'd be like.
I was going to say, imagine you go to someone's wedding,
uh-huh,
and then someone proposes to someone really loudly,
okay,
in the middle of the wedding.
All right.
It's like you're going to celebrate that person.
Yeah, no.
Right?
You're celebrating
but
us.
But you're celebrating us.
Help us, guys.
We're
Help
better.
Us destroy Christmas.
But yet make Christmas great for us.
Just make Christmas great for us and great for you, knowing you destroyed Christmas for everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
If you need a little hand doing that, Josh scours the internet for rules. I mean, for other ways to get rich, right?
We scour the internet.
You scour.
Do I scour, really?
Dude, you do. Uh-huh. I've seen you.
Have you now?
Well, you scowl at least.
I scowl. Yeah. Okay. I scowl at the internet.
Yeah. You know, we have a topic. Today is mantras. You can get super rich with our ideas. We put them together. There's a plural on there at least, right?
you said our ideas.
Yeah. That's what I said.
Yeah.
That's not enough. We want to get you more rich so you can give us more tithe. So, Mr. Josh, take it away.
The Get Rich Quick Tip of the Week, brought to you by Radio Free Brooklyn.
Or perhaps you want to have the charisma to attract more people to your business, these tips that I'm about to give you will help you to become more attractive. So listen up. All right, the first tip is sexual activity. If you have a spouse, you have to find a way to become more intimate with them. Because if you have that intimacy with that person that you're in love with, you're gonna show the whole entire world exactly who you are. You're gonna become more attractive because you're trying so much harder to attract the spouse that already loves you. On the other side of sexual activity, there's sexual preservation. And what this means is that if you're not married, you want to preserve yourself sexually so that you can become more attractive. You see, a lot of people become so promiscuous that they end up sampling every single person in the world. You want to preserve yourself so that you can withhold that sexual power and become more creative so that you can become more attractive in the end.
There you go, guys.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're married, fuck your wife a lot.
Yeah.
Or husband.
And make sure your friends know.
And make sure and let everyone know so they can see what you do.
Yep.
And then not only will you become more attractive by pandering to the person who already loves you, but they become more attractive too. But if you're not married, don't have sex.
Don't.
Because that apparently makes you unattractive.
Yeah.
And I guess if you're nutting a lot, you're less creative.
Yeah,
he's saying you need the because it's if you're not married, the creativity is what makes you attractive to other people.
Sure.
If you are married, it's the fact that you're having a lot of sex and people can't get that.
Yeah.
That makes you more attractive to them.
Yeah.
Is that, do you think that's what it is?
Yeah. No one wants free ham. You want expensive ham.
Well, no, but that, yeah, I guess there's some
truth
to
that. Someone just walks up to you on the street and says, you want free ham? You'll be like, no, 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 no.
I found a whole sheet cake.
Did you see someone eating the crap out of a really good ham sandwich, though? And you're like, that looks good.
Yeah, how much is it? $18. I want it even more.
You can't have it.
That's
right. It's my ham sandwich.
Yeah.
But some dude just walks up to you with a whole ham and tries to hand it to you on the street. You'd be like, get away from me, dude.
But is it because of the ham or because the person's kind of crazy?
I don't know this person.
Right. You just don't know the person. So yeah. You think he's got to be a little crazy,
right?
So you wouldn't take it.
Yeah.
But if a dude walked up to you with like a fistful of $100 bills and said, just take it, take it.
You're changing the topic. We're talking about ham.
I once found a whole sheet cake on the street.
Did you eat it?
I walked with it for like 3 blocks. It was untouched. I'm telling you, it was untouched.
Uh-huh.
It was just sitting on the sidewalk, but it was boxed up. It was all I could think
was.
Was
it sealed?
It was not sealed.
Oh, okay.
But it was not open. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
The tape was not, there was no tape holding the box together, but it was not sitting like open where like you're thinking like, a bird could have shit on that kind of thing. And all I could think was someone hopped in a cab and they forgot the sheet cake.
It could have been.
That's what I thought. So I picked it up and I carried it for like 2 blocks, really working, am I going to eat the sheet cake?
I wish you did so bad.
And
did you taste the icing at least?
I didn't. I couldn't.
You didn't even give one little finger swish.
No. It's New York, man.
Yeah, I know.
It's New York. And it's like I think to myself, I won't let my dog do it.
Yeah.
And I'll get furious if my dog eats shit off the street because all I know about, you know, is people poisoning pigeons with bread and, you know. There's some crazy person could very easily in this city poison a whole sheet cake.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And so I didn't. But a lot of times with stuff like that, it's just this wanting to feel like I got over on New York.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you won.
It costs so much to live here. You pay a price for everything, whether it's actual cash or it's psychic or whatever.
Or pieces of soul.
Or pieces of soul. That to those few times where you really score something that it's just like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
It feels so good.
Okay.
And the idea that like a whole fucking sheet cake was so appealing to me. Like, I probably could have eaten a whole sheet cake, but I don't know if I would have eaten the whole sheet cake.
That's even better. More cake than you can eat.
Yeah, that I just throw it away because I'm done with it.
Unfinishable amount of cake.
Yeah, it was just like, it was too good to actually just pass up right away.
Yeah.
I mean, had I even seen a finger poke in it, I wouldn't even thought of it.
Uh-huh.
But it was like pristine. I like walked by and I sort of tapped it with my foot and I felt the weight and I'm like, what the fuck? And I opened it up and it was like it shined. It was like that moment in Pulp Fiction when he opens the briefcase. And I was like, oh my God, this is a beautiful sheet cake.
Yeah.
I should have eaten it.
Yeah, you should have.
Fuck.
How long ago was this?
Like 2-3 years.
Okay.
I should have, if I just
so owned, we were doing the show. Probably.
I think it was probably right before we did the show.
Okay.
We were not doing the show. I feel like if I had owned over it, that I would have cleansed it.
How would your life be different today?
Well, the story would have been, I found a whole sheet cake and I ate it. I think that's kind of the only real difference.
Yeah.
I don't think it would have changed my life that much. But it would have been a story that I told a lot.
It may have kicked you off your life into you're the kind of guy now who does that.
Who does that. Who just fucking takes the risk and eats sheet cakes off of the streets in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might have been. You know, maybe sometimes I say to my shrink that it's like, you know, I just need a win.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like to have a moment like that, that, it, you know, it's iffy, man. Mm-hmm. It's a risk. It's a genuine
risk.
To eat a sheet cake off the streets of New York.
And that's as risky as it gets.
And that if I had eaten that sheet cake and lived, that might have opened a whole new world of risk-taking for me. I wouldn't be doing this show. I'd be living this show.
You'd be living it.
That's right.
Yeah, I'd sure be.
I'd be cutting you a check for 10% right now.
You would.
But I didn't do it.
You didn't.
And this is now I'm left like this.
So now we're left for me to beg for money.
Yep.
You guys, mantras, right?
Yep.
That's what we're doing this week. That's how we're making our money. Everyone knows, or I should say it, let me restate this. Everyone that I know who meditates think it's the best freaking thing that ever happened to them. So, do you know anyone that meditates that isn't like, it's changed my life, it's the best thing, I feel like garbage if I don't meditate? Do you know anyone who's just like, yeah, meditate, whatever?
I guess my question is, are you asking about people who like have tried meditation and don't do it anymore, or people who are just
people who
like,
meditate?
Who meditate. Yeah, no, they all love meditating.
Yeah. Do you know people that have meditated and they're like, eh, take it or leave it?
I can't meditate. I've tried meditating.
You can't meditate, but do you know anyone who could meditate and are like, meh, it was meh, whatever, medium?
You know, Deb goes through periods of meditation. And I think she wants it to work much more than it actually does for
her. Okay, all right.
So, yeah, I guess there's that.
Okay. You know, and everyone seems to agree, though, that it is something to strive for.
Yeah.
Right? And it would help. It would be beneficial to all of us, right? But who's got the time? You got work, you got TV, you got the internet. This is New York City. We got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We got to move. We got to make that money. We got to walk past that cake so we can go and buy our cake.
And eat it, too.
And eat it, too. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We need to be able to slow down to be able to do things like meditate.
It's true.
The new iOS, it's got those features built into it to try and curb you using your phone too much, right? Mm-hmm. You can set limits on different types of apps, on the phone itself, on all sorts of things. Sounds like a great idea to me. I've never used it.
No.
Probably sounds like a good idea to you, too. Have you ever used it?
Nope.
Do you have any interest in using it?
I didn't even know that was actually a thing. Oh. I know it tracks your usage now, and it'll tell you.
Oh, and you can set limits.
Horrifying. I didn't know you could set limits, though.
Yeah, you could say, like, no more than 20 minutes of social media a day for me.
The first time that popped up for me,
You turn it off.
I'm, like, looking at my phone, and suddenly this notification pops up that said, your average daily use last week was 13 hours and 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking... stopped in my tracks. A day.
Yeah.
That's a day. It wasn't for the whole week.
Yeah.
That was a day.
And you turned that off?
I did not. I went back to playing my game, which you then so rudely interrupted.
Oh, I'm
texting
sorry.
Me.
Right. So, you know, I'd say, so you don't use it. I don't use it.
You think parents use it for their kids' phones?
That's the only people that I can think of that might use it. Right? I'm going to make sure my kid can only play an hour of games a day, can only Snapchat for 2 hours, whatever it is, right?
Yep.
That's the only people that I think might use it. Anyone else is just like, if you're going to use it on yourself, why wouldn't you just like say,
put
the phone down? Or, instead of spending $1,000 on a freaking phone, why don't I just buy a flip phone?
You know, it's
for free.
It's what I've been thinking for a long time now.
Right.
I want them to come back with Sidewinders.
Okay.
Remember those?
Yeah.
Only because the one thing, I'm very text heavy these days.
Okay.
So flip phone texting, nightmare.
Yeah.
But if you had a little Sidewinder that just had a keyboard so you could text like a regular text, that would be all I needed.
Okay. So what if we could make our hectic life more relaxed, thoughtful, and meditative without taking away our toys and our convenience?
Mm-hmm.
So I started thinking. At home, I've got whatever, the Amazon thing, the Alexa.
Right.
On my phone, mm-hmm. I've got Siri.
Oh, you've got multiple, right? Yeah.
You know, if you've got the Google stuff, you've got that Go Google or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned it off, but on my Alexa, if I didn't turn it off, by default, I could be like, Alexa, order laundry detergent.
Mm-hmm.
Bloop. It would show up.
Mm-hmm.
What if you were to make something? And you could do all these things that now people are doing with their, you know, their voice-powered speakers or whatever you want to call it. But you had to repeat it, and you had to do it in a calm way. So you could change the settings. So what if instead of saying, Alexa, send me some laundry detergent, I had to sit down and calmly say, laundry detergent, laundry detergent, laundry detergent, laundry detergent, and say it like for a minute. Say it 20 times. Say it until the speaker recognizes you as have become calm.
Right. So
you,
like,
you control the settings.
So like you're in your home.
Uh-huh.
And you're screaming, Alexa, call 911. Someone's trying to kill me. Alexa, call 911. But it won't work. You have to go, Alexa, call 911. So as that person is chasing you with a knife, you still have to remain calm.
You could have, you know, you could still do that.
Alexa, call the fire department. The house is on fire.
No, you can still do that. But if you're just like, buy some freaking laundry detergent, you can be, buy some laundry detergent. You
know, a lot of power into the thing. My thing with this is, my only kind of issue with this is you're putting a lot of spiritual power into consumer products.
Yeah. You could say, you put on your headphones, you walk out the door, and you could say, hey, Siri, play a podcast, you know? It would focus you. It would center you.
Right.
It would allow you to meditate and have this thoughtful, relaxed. Siri just started beeping at me. Obviously, I'm onto something.
I think it would be really funny if right now Siri had called 911, the fire department ordered you a load of detergent. That would be really funny if, like, in 5 minutes, the cops and the fire department show up at my door, and in 3 days, you have, like, $150 worth of laundry
detergent.
Well, Alexa
knows I'm onto something. Or Siri knows I'm onto something. So should you. That's it. That's the money. That's where you're making it. You guys want to get in touch with us and tell us a fantastic idea? Other than at this party coming up, you can get us on Twitter at GRQJoshNoel.
You can email us at GRQWithJoshAndNoel@gmail.com.
You can get us on Facebook at Facebook.com/GRQJoshNoel. You can go on iTunes, anywhere you get a podcast. Subscribe, rate, review. If you only listen to us in podcast form, tune in Saturday nights, 8 o'clock, Radio Free Brooklyn. Get the schemes 5 days before everyone else. Get there early. Listen to Art Star Scene. Stick around a little late. Listen to Sittin' with Gianluca. You want to know what one of my other ideas was that I didn't really flesh out?
Yeah, I do.
It was, you could do a mantra. What if you could do a mantra in sign language combined with Reiki? So a healing mantra that you're doing all around someone as you're doing Reiki.
That's a pretty good idea. I had an idea
that
for people with cochlear implants, that you could pipe in mantras that basically are just constantly mantraing in their heads all the time.
Yeah.
So they would be, you know, they would just be completely blissed out all the time. When they're asleep, there's this mantra going all the time. When they're walking in their just everyday waking state.
What about for blind people?
Mm-hmm.
You could put Braille mantras inside their gloves.
Oh, How about just on the ends of like their thumbs so they can sort of.
Sure.
You know, because part of the there is a whole thing like with sort of like wary beads and prayer beads. Mm-hmm. So instead of that, they're sort of reading the mantra off of their fingers and touching their own fingers.
Yeah, or you have a ring that you could spin.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And it has
it on
there.
That's a good fidgety one.
Yeah.
Yeah, solid idea.
A lot of money out there, guys.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Screensavers with just mantras on them.
Screensavers, mantras. You guys have so much money right now, you don't know what to do with it. Josh, though, once again,
he scours
the internet. He may try to claim he doesn't. He does. He scours. I've seen him. To find ways for you to spend this money. So, Josh, tell him.
Loud Dream is an amazingly potent sativa strain, with THC levels pushing 28%. Smoking it gives you that get up and go get 'em you'll need if you want to keep that high-paying programmer job. And you're going to need a high-paying job, because this high-energy hybrid is sold for as much as $800 an ounce on the street. For that price, you could buy enough CD-STEMI swag to keep your brain damaged through an entire year at a liberal arts college. But you won't need college after smoking Loud Dream, because you'll gain the knowledge of the universe by seeing through time.
Oh.
That was recorded by a maniac.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. But, you know, that fucking $800 an ounce, not that I would know from any personal experience.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot for weed, though.
Yeah.
There was another one that was the number one most expensive, but they only talked about the seed price, and I don't know how much the seed was. But it was something like $1,500 for the seeds.
Okay.
For this particular strain, which is, I think it was called Fruity Pebbles.
Okay.
But it didn't hit the mark for me as much.
No, this guy, because it was recorded by a maniac.
Well, it was the same maniac.
Oh, okay.
It's, you know, it's a list.
Yeah.
It's a list. These, you know, it's one maniac records a whole list.
Yeah.
I just cherry picked one.
Yeah. Josh has a list he cherry picks off of, and that is a list of rules for getting rich quick, to which we judge our schemes by, so you can judge whether or not they're worth selling your house, taking out loans, cashing in your child's college fund,
or just sitting in a dark room for days,
yeah,
chanting to yourself to give yourself the inspiration.
That's right.
To become the billionaire you were always meant to be.
That's right. Where did our rules come from this week?
Where they have been coming from for quite a while, because I'm lazy.
Okay.
How to be a successful businessman, 50 rules of entrepreneurship.
All right. Sounds good.
Rule number one.
Yeah.
You don't have to be an alpha male.
That's the whole rule?
Yeah.
You don't have to be an alpha male. You got to be...
Why do you say it like that? Like, that's a surprise. Like, that rule is... the rules are always little
okay,
quick.
You don't
steps.
Have to be an alpha male. You can be, you know, a yoga-type dude with a man bun.
Mm-hmm.
Or a lady.
Or, yeah.
Like, you keep forgetting.
Like, I keep... Right. Okay. Well, you're right. You make a good point.
Rule two.
Rule two. Do whatever it takes.
Do whatever it takes, and do it over and over
right.
and over and over.
Just repeat the shit out of it.
Yep.
And rule number three, develop a system for things that work.
Yeah. Develop a system for things that work. A system like Siri, like Alexa, like all these things have, and work it into your pocket.
Yeah, we're three for three, Noel, so we're definitely getting rich.
Yes, we are.
Once again, for Josh.
And Noel, don't spend all that knowledge in one place. We'll be right back.